Hey, everybody. Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Back in the summer of 2019, Verity Baptist Church planted a church in Fresno, California, which is like 3 hours away by car. And Pastor Jared Pozarski was put at the helm. Now, the reason that this church was started was because there was a demand for it. I remember talking to Pastor Jimenez about this many times before the church plant, about how we needed a church in Fresno. And I remember saying to him, look, if you're not going to start this church in Fresno, I'll do it. But I just said it would make way more sense for you to do it since you're just geographically so much closer. And so there was a demand. People wanted the church. There were people in that area that wanted somewhere to go. I remember in particular one guy, Frank, that I would constantly see at events in LA and Sacramento. And we were always talking about getting a church in Fresno. Other visitors and people from Fresno, we would have these conversations.
We had several people say this to us when we were out soul winning. It was people that weren't even necessarily interested in hearing our gospel presentation. But this is what several people said to us. They said, we're glad you're here. They said, keep up the good work. And this is what several people said. This neighborhood needs what you're doing.
So when they started out, they had good size attendances. You look back at the pictures and videos from back then. You see big crowds at the grand opening, anniversary services. I found a clip also from December 22nd, 2019. So this is, you know, several months after the grand opening. This isn't the grand opening. It's several months later, December 22nd, and Oliver says they had 53 in the service that Sunday morning.
And well, it's great to be back here in Fresno. It's good to see everyone again. And of course, the Pozarskis are doing a great job. And it's great to hear that this morning we had, what, 53 in attendance? So that is a great number, and I'm excited for the future of this church.
But then we fast forward 6 years later, and the church is gone, shut down, right? Just as soon as Pastor Pozarski moved up to Sacramento, the church just closes its doors because it's not even worth keeping open because there's so few people there.
But it was like, what to do with Hold Fast Baptist Church? To leave even the few is a hard thing.
And this is what we've observed over the last couple of years as well. Pastor Mejia went there and preached and said there were like 10 people in the service when he went and preached. He said it would be very generous to just say maybe it could have been 15 or something. I was there multiple times. I observed the same thing. I preached there on a Sunday morning on the road trip. There's like 15 people. You know, where did everybody go? What happened? You know, the truth of the matter is that he absolutely ran that church into the ground. He started with all of the signage and all the support of Verity behind him and the building, and he had all the bells and whistles and everything setting him up for success. A big group of people that were ready to go, tons of visitors constantly coming to the church and hearing about it and being excited about a new IFB church in Fresno, and he just absolutely destroyed it and ran into the ground. So how? Like, what did he do to run everybody off? Well, several people have reached out to me about this from that church that were there in those days, and they're all telling the same exact story. So I'm going to go through that right now of why Verity Fresno, which, you know, started out looking like it was going to be such a success, just completely failed, and now it no longer exists. Well, first of all, one thing that was consistent was that everybody was telling us that they were just, that Pastor Pozarski in particular was trashing the new IFB from day one, trashing myself to people, Pastor Mejia, Pastor Shelley. You know, his son Garrett apparently said that the NIFB was evil, okay? And you might just think to yourself, well, who cares? You know, I don't like the new IFB either. Yeah, but you have to understand that this guy was pretending to be our friend. He's participating in events with us. He has us preach for him. He would come and preach at our place. He's coming to pastoral retreats that I'm putting on and everything. And then behind, you know, my back, he's just talking trash behind Pastor Mejia's back. He's like, and a lot of these church members said that they found it disturbing that he would pretend to be our friend publicly and then trash us behind our back. Also, once he became ordained, he would do secret sermons with the camera turned off where he preached the weird doctrines. You know, for example, preaching that Christians could take the mark of the beast, which is obviously a bizarre and heretical thing to preach. Everybody's also consistent in saying that he was super controlling, not allowing any soul winning outside the official times, getting angry about people visiting Pastor Mejia's church in L.A., not wanting them to go down there and attend events in L.A.
Hi, my name is Johannes Huverts. I got saved in the summer of 2018 and started going to Verity Baptist Fresno when it started in 2019. I was the AV guy and soul winning map maker for the church. I thought it was very odd that Jared Przarnski forbade us from going soul winning outside of the soul winning times, as well as preached that saved people could take the mark of the beast, would brag about being a bully in school and pushing down weaker kids, and said he would physically hold down his wife to prevent her from going to their crying babies. It became clear to me that he was either a major flip-flopper or a fraud when he was very anti-New IFB at the start of the ministry, then became pro-New IFB after being ordained, then again anti-now.
My name's Frank Rocha. I am from the Fresno area. Back in 2018, I was a church member with FWBCLA. I used to drive to the area with my family. Loved the church, learned a lot, preaching the gospel there, and just, you know, how to be a Christian. How to be, it was good times, and the Lord directed me and my family to Sacramento. We started driving to Verity Sacramento. It was just a better fit with my wife and my kids. I thought it was best. And we were driving there faithfully. We were church members, completed a membership class. And then they eventually planted a church in Fresno. It was a satellite church. Was very thankful to that. It was a huge blessing. And, you know, basically, you know, we gave our lives to that church. You know, me and my family, we love the church. We love the vision that Pastor Menos had. And, you know, we got behind the satellite leader, Brother Jared Przarnski at the time. And we did everything we could to help. And, you know, everything was great as a satellite. You know, the moment he got ordained, things started to really take a turn for the worse. I mean, there were signs that were really just some big red flags. Quick thing I'd bring up, I remember I really wanted to go and visit First Works. There are times I wanted to go. This is the time they're independent. I went and visited, and one time, you know, Jared asked me. I got back. Jared, he wasn't ordained yet. It was just right before. And he asked me, he said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me you went and visited over there? Why didn't you tell me? Why are you keeping this from me? And I was like, I didn't think I had to. You know, I didn't think, why would I have to tell you? Like, if Pastor Burns was guest preaching, why would I have to tell you? And many things like that, you know, not allowing to have, you know, men at my house, you know, that's not for me. Like, the home is for, you know, it's a sacred area for you and your wife and your family. It's like, I can have whoever I want over, you know what I mean? Like, there's several things, you know, I just kind of overlooked.
There were two situations where Pastor Przarnski just completely disrespected, ignored, and usurped the authority of parents over their own daughter. For example, in one situation, this girl wanted to marry this guy up in Canada from another church, and Przarnski basically, you know, goes into the home, pulls the girl out of there, gets her stuff out of there, takes it upon himself to put this girl in a hotel and just make all the arrangements for her to marry this guy in another country without her parents' consent.
Hi, my name is Mariati Cornelio, and I just want to say that on October of 2021, my daughter was eloped from our home, and Jared was the one who took our daughter out of our home. We had a meeting in the morning of that day after service. It was a Sunday. And he told us, my husband, and Lucy was in the room, and Miss Heidi was in the room, and he told us that, he told my husband that he had no control of the household and that he was going to take over the control of Lucy. And he really didn't explain to us what was going on. He just said that he was going to take control of Lucy, and that, like, if he tells his son to jump, that his son tells him how high, and that my husband didn't have that ability of control like he did, and that he was disappointed. So we left that meeting, And then Miss Heidi, during that time after the meeting, right after the meeting, asked me if she could take Lucy out for lunch. And I said, sure, she could. So we went out for lunch. And while we went out for lunch, I was still distraught about what was going on. I didn't understand what was going on. We went soul winning. And during soul winning, a sister did ask me what was going on. And I said, I don't know, because I really didn't know. I know my daughter wanted to get married. And I said that they could get married, but in July. And that was the agreement. They even had an engagement party. And that's what we agreed to. But she, as soon as her boyfriend left, now husband, it was like a week later, she wanted to already leave to Canada and get married. And I said, I need to consult with Jared first, with Pastor Jared first, to see what's the right protocol. Because I wanted to actually know the guy. I only know him for 1 week. You know how he is or anything. So let's do things the right way. At least know him for the 6 seasons, you know? And, so I really was very confused as what was going on or what Lucy had in mind. And, so after that, we went soul winning. We came back, and during that time, Miss Heidi took the opportunity to take Lucy out of my house without my permission. And Miss Heidi told me we didn't believe Lucy. We didn't believe Lucy, what she told us, because what she was saying didn't make sense. But my husband thought it was better for her to take her out of the house. And I was like, well, that's not right. I won't agree with that. And so, yeah, so she took her out of my house, and paid for 2 weeks of hotel and helped her get her passport and everything. And eventually she went to Canada and get married without, I mean, she was an adult. She could do whatever she wants. But all I'm saying is this guy went into my house and took control of my daughter, and she helped her elope to go with him. After I said, no, let's first consult Jerry to see what, you know, sorry, I was, don't believe this guy is fit to be a pastor. And then eventually we got kicked out of the church because he said that, you know, that I was causing division, but I didn't. I only spoke with Sister Kelly, but I couldn't even tell her what was going on because at that time I really didn't know what was going on, because it really, all I heard was I'm taking control. And we were like, what? But, yeah, so that's what happened. And I don't believe this guy is fit. I do believe that he is controlling.
Then in another situation, he is assisting his son in eloping with a girl who's 17, you know, saying, hey, as soon as she's 18, they're going to elope, and not telling the parents. And then when church members do come forward and tell the dad and say, hey, this is what Pazarnski's doing, you know, obviously he's angry, he ends up leaving the church and everything, because, you know, obviously he doesn't appreciate these things being done behind his back. And it's kind of weird how there are two situations like this in the same church where he is going in, usurping parents' authority, trying to marry off a girl to someone that their parents, you know, either don't approve of or they don't approve of the timing. And so it was because of these two weird situations that a lot of people were kicked out of the church. A lot of people left the church. I mean, this kind of weird controlling stuff is what offended a lot of people. And this is what's running people off and just running the church into the ground. This weird behavior.
Garrett Pazarnski, who was a close friend of mine, told me he planned on eloping with a 17-year-old when she turned 18. I obviously thought this was wrong. Jared Pazarnski then bragged to Brother Frank Rocha and I that Garrett and her would be married soon, even though her parents had no idea. Brother Frank and I then brought this information to her father. Brother Frank left the church quietly, but then was labeled a wolf by Pazarnski for this. I was later kicked out for this situation as well. The girl admitted to this long ago, and the elope was prevented, so the fact that Pazarnski lies about this to this day should tell you what kind of person he is.
There's so many things I can go into, but really I just want to say that everything that Johannes Hoovertz is mentioning, I can agree to it and affirm to it. And it is true. You know, I'm just one of several witnesses.
Those decisions are left up to the parents. It's not the job of the pastor to come in and run people's personal lives and get involved and disrespect and usurp that kind of authority of a parent. In both of these situations, he tried to get Pastor Thompson involved. And Pastor Thompson did not get involved, but he was trying to get Pastor Thompson to, you know, get hotels or talk to these people. Maybe she can stay with these people or whatever. And, you know, he wasn't interested in getting involved. But that's another witness to these things. All the witnesses are telling the same stories. Stories are bizarre. And so all that to say this, Pastor Pazarnski is a failed pastor. He was handed a great opportunity. And in 6 years, he destroyed it and ran it into the ground. And it's funny that people will try to dispute that when the church doesn't exist. You know, imagine pastoring for over 6 years in a town and you have nothing to show for it. And it's not like he started from scratch and then, you know, it never got off the ground or something. Like, I can understand that. And I can understand churches that are small because they started from scratch, they couldn't get off the ground or something. But when you're starting with a good sized group of people, you start with a big group and then you just absolutely run it into the ground and shut it down. Okay. Well, guess what? That isn't the blessing of God. That's not normal. Okay. And so not only did he fail as a pastor, but he's also a massive hypocrite. Because remember, this is the guy getting up and preaching, you don't rule by constraint, and just preaching all this weak, soft leadership, while in reality, he's a control freak, megalomaniac, and just not practicing what he preaches at all.
There's a huge issue with pride and lording over the flock. I love Jared. I forgive him. But it's just, it's insane. The pride and the control that this man had, and just the spirit of the church and Holdfast. There's no liberty. Just straight control and lording and just order always in the church, no liberty at all. I felt terrible. I felt terrible for just looking back at it, for the ladies in the church, the children in the church.
It was always his way or the highway. Very controlling guy. I was always in the room like I was in a preschool. Going in there, I was always getting scolded. I was never enough. I'm not like his wife. Why can't I be like his wife and whatever? And you know what? I was miserable. Sorry, but I wasn't happy.
You know that, you know, your wife has to be with you willingly. She has to follow you just like you have to follow me.
This is not someone that you want to follow. This is not someone that you want to listen to. And the purpose of this video is to warn you about this man and to warn the people of Verity Baptist Church that this is what this guy is like. And, you know, it's funny. I think everybody on the outside can see what's going on. But I think the people on the inside, they're just too emotional about it to see the forest for the trees. This guy completely failed. And then everybody just acts like, oh, what a great choice for pastor to take over Verity. It's absurd. And as far as the Verity situation, I'm not going to go into it here. I did an entire sermon on this last Sunday called Verity's Lack of Repentance. So I would highly recommend that you go listen to that sermon to understand the situation at Verity. God bless you. Have a great day.